turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we can trust that the Lord will walk with us. The question is, will we walk with him? Will we walk close to him? Will we walk in connection with him at all times? We come to Romans chapter 15. We're going to be looking at the first three verses. And though we have a division in chapters in the Bible, there is not a division in the thought that the Apostle Paul is giving to us this evening. The first three verses of Romans 15 go very closely with Romans 14. In fact, Romans 13 and 14 were written to give instructions in a proper relationship with one another, with other brothers and sisters in Christ especially. Paul, in chapter 14, in the first first 12 verses, Paul warned against being overjudgmental. We ought not to be overjudgmental of others. And though there are times that reproof is necessary, there are times when rebuke is necessary, we need to be careful that we don't become overjudgmental. But reproof and rebuke is needed. It's used in the life of individuals to help them to walk with the Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, to protect them from going off the path that they ought to be walking. And we need to realize that through the Bible, there are oftentimes given to us very direct and plain truths to help us in our walk with the Lord. Other times, the Lord uses principles. He uses application to help us to walk with him. And we need to see that there is liberty. But we need to be careful at the same time that we do not allow this liberty to violate the truths, the principles, the applications that the Lord gives us. And then in verses 13 through 23 of chapter 14, Paul gives a challenge in our conduct not to become a stumbling block, not to become a hindrance to others, to unsaved from being saved, and from the Christian from being able to walk with the Lord and to sin against his own conscience. Now, as we begin the 15th chapter, we see a third instruction that Paul gives in relation to others. And that's what we want to look at this evening, is that relationship to others. Consider others. And sticking with the threes, we want to consider three ways, three considerations that we ought to have towards others. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we realize tonight that we are so dependent upon thee. Lord, we need thee every hour. And Lord, tonight we pray that we would walk with thee, we would talk with thee, and let you talk to us through your word as well. We pray, Lord, as we look into your word tonight, that you would instruct us through your word. I pray, God, you'd protect my lips, that I not speak anything amiss. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, Paul gives us here three ways of consideration towards others. First is through endurance. I use the word endurance because I'm using three E's. You could say patience. We need to have patience one with another. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourself. And so Paul is basically saying here, put others first. If you go back to chapter 14 and verse number 1, it says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not with doubtful disputation. We need to receive others as though, you know, we through the years have had the opportunity of being a Christian, having the opportunity to be under solid Bible teaching. We have been able to spend some time in the Word, gain some measure of spiritual strength in our lives, need to practice endurance, need to practice patience towards others who have not had the opportunity. Maybe they have just recently been saved, or maybe they have not had the opportunity to be under good, solid teaching for the years that they have been saved, or they have not had the encouragement to spend time in the Word of God as they ought to. And we need to have patience with them. We ought not to be overly judgmental against them. You know, when your children began to walk, they at times would stumble and fall. And when they would stumble and fall, you would not run over there and get after them and chew them out for falling and you'd ridicule them because they stumbled. No, you would go over, you would pick them up, and you would hold their hands and encourage them to walk with you. You know, how many remember your first child? And he started, or she started walking. And you were there, and you said, come to daddy, or come to mommy, you know. And you would be encouraging them. And you wouldn't be after them because they stumbled and fell. You know, you would be after them. And you would clap your hands, and you would cheer them on because of what they did. And you say, oh, what a good boy or a good girl. And you would be encouraging in every way that you possibly could. You would take their hand alongside, and you would guide them around obstacles and kick obstacles around out of their way. You didn't expect them to walk as fast as you did. Where'd Mrs. Gillespie go? No, that's not the right word. That's Grandma Gillespie, and she always. But I noticed Elise walking through the foyer this evening with Caroline. And Caroline was just hanging on, trying to keep up, and boy, Elise was going away. You know, we ought not to do that with our spiritual children. You know, if we've had the opportunity to walk with the Lord for a while, we ought not to try to make others walk as fast as we do, spiritually speaking. And we need to be careful that we do not, but we use patience with them. And I admit, I've not always been as patient as I should have been at times, but here he says we ought to bear. It's in the present tense, ongoing obligation that we have towards others. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Therefore, some things not to do because of consideration of others. You know, there's things that we can do in our lives as Christians who have walked with the Lord, who have had the opportunity to be under solid teaching, that we can do, and it will not harm us, but it might be a stumbling block to a non-Christian or to someone else. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now here he's talking about eating meats that have been offered to idols and so forth, but we can take a principle that he taught in that particular verse, and we can apply it to other areas of our life. And there are certain things that we can do as believers, as grown believers, as people who have walked with the Lord for a while, that would not harm us, but it might offend that younger person. It might offend that one who has not had the opportunity. And Paul here is saying, I can eat meat offered to idols without losing fellowship with the Lord, but I'll not do it if it is going to be a hindrance, cause someone else to stumble in their walk with the Lord. And so put others before self. Bear them along. Give them your hand of encouragement. As Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so in our fellowship with our consideration of others, we ought to show patience, others first, and ourselves last. In Matthew, as Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Having a willingness to deny self. I wonder, as you stop and think, how often have you been willing to deny yourself for someone else? Sacrifice some time, sacrifice some freedom, that you may be strengthen the hand of others, and be an encouragement to the careful not to make our own well-being, our own happiness a priority, but consider what others might have. Again, reading a fairly lengthy portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 down to verse 18. Charity. Paul here is speaking about the love and what love does and what love does not do. But charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, and rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. But I read all of that just for the continuity of it, but looking primarily at verse number 5. It says, seeketh not his own. And one who has that love, has that consideration for others, seeketh not his own, but seeketh that which is going to be helpful to others, and not make self-gratification the standard by which we exercise our Christian liberty, but to consider others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's will. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Consideration for others, consideration of what others would do. And so when we're going to consider others and we're going to be of help to others, we're going to be an encouragement to others, we need to practice endurance or practice patience. Secondly, in verse number 2, we can be of help in others through edification. Look at verse number 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor to his good to edification. That word edification means to build up. We dealt with it. In many of your times, you dealt with that in your own Bible reading. But it says here, let every one of us please his neighbor. That word please. Let us be pleasing to our neighbor, primarily our brothers or sisters in Christ. Who is our neighbor? Well, we could get into that this evening. We could go back to a parable that was taught by the Lord. But anyone that we come in contact with, that we do what we can to bring be pleasing to them and not to ourselves, for his good. This is the aim of our pleasing, for the good of the others, for the building up, for the edification of the others. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. But Paul is saying he did not minister to please himself, but to be of encouragement to others. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. We're not here to please men. We're here to please the Lord, of course, but we ought to, in our consideration of others, we ought to serve in a way that would bring pleasing to them. It's the opposite of pleasing ourselves, pleasing the one who we're trying trying to encourage. Encourage him in areas that build up his faith, that lead down the right path, that develop convictions based on the Word of God, and not to be thinking about ourselves. That in turn might be better fulfilled because of our purpose, our consideration of others, building them up in the faith. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So our main purpose is not just to please others, but to please the Lord in our consideration of our work with others, our encouragement with others. We are to please, but not that we become comfortable, that he becomes comfortable or they become comfortable in what they're doing. You know, again, as we mentioned earlier, there are times where reproof is necessary, rebuke is necessary, and we ought not to please others that to the point where they are comfortable in what they are doing if what they are doing is not right. But we please the Lord. And, you know, if we allow people to continue on in what they are doing and it is not right, that's going to be a detriment to their testimony. That we do not, be careful, we do not indulge in their whims, their desires, their gratifications, but rather that we reprove, rebuke them. And so we take consideration of others through patience or through endurance and then through edification. And then in verse number 3, through example. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. I have simply put it this way, serve rather than being served. That's what the Lord came to do. Why should we be putting others first, being patient, pleasing men for their good? Because of the example that Christ left us. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. In John chapter 13 and verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And of course, this is in the context of Christ in his washing the disciples' feet. But he says, I've left you an example. And he has left us an example that we ought to do as he has done unto us. We ought to follow his example. He did not please himself. His self-denial was the greatest argument against selfishness amongst the believers. He came not to be served, but he came to serve. In Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for me. How many is like to be ministered unto? And we like others to take and do things for us, but we ought to be doing things for others. We ought to be serving rather than being served. He came not seeking his own will, but the will of his Father. And we need to be careful that we do not seek to do our own will, but the will of him that has called us, the will of him that is the example for us. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Again in John chapter 5 and verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear. I judge and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I seek not my own will, and we ought to be serving rather than seeking to be served. Christ's earthly ministry, it was a ministry of self-denial. You just think about the 3.5 years that Jesus ministered, even his entire life, and his life was a life of self-denial. He put others before himself all the time. fasting that was. He came to please his Heavenly Father, to please the will of his Heavenly Father. And this is the example that he left for you and I in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He came to serve, not to be served. And if we do his will, his disciples must deny, as his disciples, we ought to deny ourselves. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, how often do we find in the Bible where we are instructed to deny ourselves and to take up our cross? You know, your cross is different than my cross, but whatever your cross might be, to take it up, deny yourself, and to be willing to serve rather than being served. And Christ always preferred our good over his own pleasure. Think about that. Christ always desired our good over his own pleasure. Do we seek the good of others over our own pleasure, our own desires? It's not grievous to him, but he willing did it with joy. He served others with joy. And in this manner, we ought to serve others as well. Again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Through the joy that was set before him. Can you imagine Christ knowing that he was going to the cross, knowing that he would suffer for you and I? He did it with joy. Do we serve with joy? Do we serve with happiness others and served? Do we serve rather than being served? And we are saved by Christ's self-denial, his sacrifice. The latter part of that third verse, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Fell on Christ. And here, of course, Paul is speaking that. But all our sins are a reproach to God. Every sin that we commit is a reproach to the Lord. And yet, Jesus, in his spotlessness, in his holiness, seeing whom he died for, gave the highest manifestation of self-denial when he took upon himself our guilt and our sin on the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just one, and I'm adding the word one, the just one for the unjust ones, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ willingly became poor, gave up the glories that was his, gave up the glories of heaven, and suffered the curse of the cross that we might become rich in our salvation. He became poor that we might become rich. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. How many of you are rich tonight? I trust each one of you know the riches of salvation that is so free given to us. And all Christ's life, he endured the ridicule, he endured the contempt, he endured the assassination. Yet he stood between us and God, and he led us, and he enabled us to be rich in our salvation, to be reconciled to God. And Jesus, since Jesus did all this for us, we ought to be willing to do the same for others. Any inconvenience we might face, we never compare with what our Lord did for us, the example that he left for us. In our relationship with others, we are admonished to consider, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would be patient, that we would be show endurance towards others, that we would strive to build them up, to be an edification for them, to see that they are stronger because of our example to them, following the example of Christ, pleasing our neighbors for his good by following the example of Christ, by being patient one with another. I wonder, do we consider others, or do we consider only ourselves? Are we looking to please ourselves, or are we looking to please others and pleasing the Lord in reality? Considering others, building them up. And in the day that we live in today, how important that is. Many of you go out tomorrow morning, you go to the factory or you go to the office, and you'll face things that some of us don't have to face. But are we there to build them up, to encourage them, and to help them to walk with the Lord? Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great example to us. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you endured temptation, you endured the cross, and you were patient with us. Oh, how we thank you tonight for your patience to us. Lord, that you showed endurance, and you are willing to pick us up, walk beside us, walk along with us, and strengthen us. We're thankful, Father, that you, through your word, bring edification, bring building up. Help us to do that for others, and help us to follow your example. Lord, that we might see others strengthened, and others be encouraged in their walk with thee. Help us this week to walk with thee. For it's in Christ's name we pray.